south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's tie up some loose ends now. I can guarantee you that all the people that listen to this show are above average. They're creative, read books once in a while, read alternative media pieces, and compared to the average person, are very health conscious. Now, that doesn't mean we or you guys actually practice what you preach, but you know what to do and what not to do. And a lot of people, even most people who are getting that plan B together, know that once they get down here to Latin America, they'll instantly be able to change their dietary habits, be able to eat right, go to those gigantic fruit and vegetable markets where they can shop and buy stuff for a third or a fifth of what they pay in the States. And of course, it's going to be much, much fresher coming from the nearby little truck farms, not to mention the wide availability of driveway chickens and driveway chicken eggs. Oh, and just a little heads up, do check the little stickers you sometimes see on apples and pears, mangoes, whatever, because all imported fruit from other countries has to have that sticker on it. And you'll find throughout Latin America, most of the imported fruit comes from Chile. And note, nearly 100% of the time, that stuff is doused with chemicals. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to get permission to bring it through customs. Now, you adventurous types who actually have driven through Latin American borders know that in many cases, they'll pull your car over right after you've passed through the border and they'll spray your car down with insecticides. Not good. So you can only guess what they do to the fruits and vegetables if that's what they do to your car. But we were talking about cheap, fresh, and minimally doused fruits and vegetables at those big markets, right? So again, read the labels, stay away from the stuff that says imported or has another country's name on the sticker. That way, you can pretty much assure your food's been minimally doused. Oh, and of course, if you've got a property with any kind of landmass on it at all, you can grow your own mangoes, avocados, papayas, oranges, you name it. Then you've got complete control over the pesticide and GMO thing. And speaking of pesticides and GMOs, I get lots of emails from people saying, hey, Johnny, I've been to one or two of those gigantic Latin American fruit and vegetable markets, or at least I've seen a few YouTubes of people doing walkthroughs, and man, that stuff's way too big not to have tons of pesticides and hormones dumped on it. It's impossible. And my take on that, yeah, I've seen some mangoes and avocados and such that are a lot bigger than my head. And I do have a big head. I think when I was born, poor mom. Ouch, I bet it was her that cried. And you know, I remember my uncle once saying, never eat anything that's bigger than your head. So let's get deeper into the subject of fertilizers and pesticides here in Latin America. Well, there's no denying some Latin countries use unbelievable amounts, and there's no regulators that really give a damn. And because we're all looking to get away from that stuff, here's the breakdown, at least the most recent breakdown. The problem, you see, is when people write about the tonnage of pesticides and fertilizers used for a given country, that's really not enough information. Because you see, China, which is the third biggest landmass in the world, also uses the most pesticides by tonnage. But when you break it down per acreage of farmland or per capita, the results can be really confusing. For example, listen to this. China takes the cake, the contaminated cake, for the most annual pesticide consumption by far. Of course, the tonnage, the numbers by themselves don't mean much. It's how countries compare with each other. For example, China takes the cake at 1,800,000 kilograms of pesticide used annually. That's four times as much as the U.S. at 380 million tons a year. And at first you think, wow, four times as much as the States, that's crazy. But they've got four times as many people. So China dumps as much pesticides on its crops as the U.S. does per capita. By the way, the U.S. is number two on the list of total pesticide tonnage used per year. Though, as mentioned, it doesn't tell the whole story, though it is bad. So on this top 10 list of actual tonnage, you got China number one, United States number two. Guess who's number three? Argentina. Number four, Brazil. Number five, Colombia. Wonder if they're counting the coke crop there. Number six, Mexico. Those are all huge countries with lots of landmass. Which brings us to a much more meaningful chart. This one talks about the amount of pesticides used in each country per year divided by the arable land or acreage. And believe me, this is going to shock the hell out of you. You would never guess in a million years who's number one and how the other countries stack up. But it'll give you a really great idea what Latin American countries you don't want to settle in if one of the top priorities on your Plan B list is to have absolutely unadulterated or nearly unadulterated locally grown fruits and vegetables. All right, let me throw this at you. Remember, we're talking about the amount of pesticides used annually per acre of arable cropland. Number one in the world, Costa Rica. Who'da thunk, huh? Number two, and we're talking about the whole world here, Colombia. Number three, Netherlands. Must be putting it on the tulips or the three lips or something. Number four, Ecuador. Number five, Brazil. Number six, Mexico. All right, then we've got a couple of European countries. And number eight on the list, Uruguay, little Uruguay. Number 10, the USA. Number 11, Argentina. Then a few European countries like Austria, Ireland, and Italy. Who'd have thunk that, huh? Number 14, another Latin country, Honduras. Number 15, yet another, Dominican Republic. You've got Paraguay at 16 and Peru at number 22. Then, in the group of the next 25 countries, not a single Latin country shows up. In fact, not another Latin country shows up in the top 50. Now, how do you feel about that? All right, let me repeat that list again of the Latin countries that show up in the top 10. You've got Brazil, Ecuador, Mexico, Argentina, Uruguay, Costa Rica, which is number one, and number two on this list, Colombia. Good information, yes? But should that stop you from having your Plan B in one of those countries? Not necessarily, because as mentioned, if you go to the big markets and buy from small produce vendors, and believe me, they're everywhere, you'll find most of them are into old-fashioned farming techniques and just don't have the dough to buy all those fancy, modern Monsanto poisons the big farms, the big producers are using. Oh, and not to mention, even if you have the smallest garden or plot of land where you live, in no time, you'll be able to grow so much of your own produce, you'll have to give it away to the neighbors. You longtime listeners have heard me say I've got a number of trees out where I live. The land's not even level. It's on a very steep angle. And I'm always giving away bananas and buckets full of lemons, limes, oranges, tangerines. And still, every week, bushels full of that stuff fall to the ground and just rot. So there's always that option of growing your own. Oh, and I guess you're probably wondering the other countries, the non-Latin countries that show up on that wall of shame list. You probably know there are around 200 countries, more or less, in the world, and here are the ones that show up in the top 20. You heard me say Netherlands, who'd have thunk, huh? Tulip people, Portugal, France, Greece, Germany, Austria, and Ireland. And to me, it's kind of strange to see all those European countries on the list because most of them have banned the use of GMOs. I don't get it. Though, just know if you're going to live in one of those countries that uses excessive amounts of pesticides like Colombia, you have to use a really good water purifier and not buy bottled water because where do you think that runoff goes? Right into the rivers and the water table. Yeah, no? All right. Let's switch gears and talk about something completely un-PC, as usual. You know, I've been getting a ton of emails since that migrant caravan's been moving up north. It's been stopped, I guess, in Tijuana now. Looks like it's pretty much disintegrating. A lot of crazy things and chaos happening up there. Anyway, as far as all the different reasons why poor Latin Americans want to make their way up to the United States illegally, because believe me, if they could get in legally, they'd definitely do it. Now, you think you know the real reasons why they're streaming up to the States. You hear they're escaping from crime and poverty and lack of opportunity and decent jobs. You hear about the murders, the gangs, the extortions. But the thing is, you're getting all this information from first world reporters that interview illegals either in the States or at the border where they're trying to sneak in, or they come down to Mexico for a couple of weeks, loaded with cameras and crews and following the caravans around for a while, taping the bad and the ugly and squeezing out those human interest stories. You know, mothers with clinging, crying babies, sad eyes, scruffy jugs of water, grimy t-shirts and hats with I Love New York and Yankee logos on them. I mean, that's what we see on the news all the time, right? Then on the U.S. side of the border, you've got all those first world activists and protesters yelling, let them in, they're refugees, they've got human rights and all that. Yep, the reporters are everywhere. They come down for a couple of weeks to get their stories. And those stories, they're all pretty much the same, but none of them have been living off the gringo tourist trail, talking in Spanish with these people for the last 27 years, like me. Now, you can get all angry and pissed off at what I'm going to say right now, but you haven't been invited to backyard parties or have sat down in the living room of a family who have got three or four brothers and sisters who've snuck into the States, who are sending back $100 or so a month in remesas. And the trick is, I speak Spanish. Good enough anyway. And these people tell me things they'll never tell a reporter. Oh, but they'll tell a reporter what they think he ought to hear. Yep, wouldn't you put the usual spin on things? The one that sounds the best? On that note, here's what you're not gonna hear on the First World 6 o'clock news when they're doing border jumping stories. Let's call this little rant the five main reasons why poor, uneducated Latins wanna move to the USA. Oh, and you might think middle, upper middle, and rich Latins wanna move to the States too. But do they? Not really. What you'll hear from them is they want their kids to go to schools up in the States, and they want to visit Disneyland and Miami and Chicago and Nueva York. But now we're talking about the upper 10 or even 5% of Latin Americans who are making pretty decent dough down here. Their kids are going to college. And it's a sure thing that most, if not all, of the upper 5 or 10% of Latin America do go to Disneyland on occasion and take vacations every couple of years to visit the relatives up in Miami. Because you see, the truth is, I've never, ever met a Latino who didn't have a relative up in the States. I don't care if he's living in a tin shack or he's a multimillionaire. They've all got relatives living up by you in Cleveland. And you might ask, why do wealthy and upper middle class Latins have relatives living up in the States? Well, the fact is, they're almost always middle and upper middle class, second or third generation. Their relatives came up, are legal, and settled in a generation or two ago, though many of them actually did come into the United States illegally or came in on tourist visas and overstayed, so they ended up being illegal. But way back when, in the Carter, Reagan, and in practically every U.S. president's term in the recent past, they had amnesty programs for residency leading up to nationality and citizenship. The fact is, here in Latin America, the middle, upper middle class, and wealthy classes have been expanding. You'll find, for example, down here in Latin America, many wealthy Latins, or moderately wealthy Latins, business owners and such, came from poor backgrounds. Their parents didn't have much. It's a case of upward mobility. And many will tell you their parents, for example, only went to high school or not even that. Maybe they had a small tienda or a small farm and no real dough. It's pretty much the same story with a lot of baby boomers up in the States. Their parents had tiny houses, a used car, no AC, washing machine, TV, just the basics. But somehow, they were able to put their kids through college, and they all did so much better than their parents. In fact, the baby boomers are living lives of luxury compared to their parents. So, the fact is, most upscale and wealthy Latinos you meet in Latin America came from non-university educated families who were middle class or lower, which is kind of white trash up in the States. And many of those aunts and uncles went to the States to work, got their amnesty, and became truck drivers and factory workers, etc., did well enough so that their kids, the first and second generations, born up in the States, could have a solid middle class or even upper middle class life. So when you talk to middle, upper middle class, and wealthy Latinos here in Latin America, those are the relatives, the legal branch of the family in the U.S., they drop in on when they're off to visit Nueva York, Nueva Jersey, Chicago, and Cleveland. And those same relatives will often take a trip back to their Latin country origin for Christmas and holidays. By the way, the first and second generation Latinos in the States who are legal are not sending back remesas to the family back in El Salvador. That's just not necessary because they're all doing pretty well. All right, your bottom line here is wealthy and upper middle class Latins living here in Latin America don't want to move to the United States. They're making their dough down here and they're happy. But they just love visiting the States and want to send their kids to school there because, you know, they've got that stereotypical image that everything is better up in the First World. That's part of your gringo advantage, you know. All right, common reason number two why Latins are flooding into the States. It's about the gangs, the salvatruchas, the maras. Well, here's my take on that. In Latin America, where there's poverty, I'm talking extreme poverty, tin roof shanty towns and shacks, man, you got gangs. If you drive through any medium or large Latin city, you'll see those shanty towns. And anyone who's running a little business in those areas is going to get extorted. Yet you see little businesses everywhere. And any outsider, like me or you, would say they're nuts to have a business there. But they don't know any better. You have to understand, even if a person living in one of those dumps wins the lottery, he's not going to move out. He's just going to have the biggest, most gaudiest, ugly mansion in the garbage pile. That's the mentality you're dealing with. And the kids, most of them do go to school, but they go to those wretched public schools. And they do usually finish high school, except after that, their parents don't give them any encouragement to go to college. Though some do, and they go to those crappy public universities because they're virtually free. And they do get college degrees. Though because of the Latin macho thing, about 4 ladies graduate for every guy. But just like in the States, they get useless journalism, psychology, and business admin degrees. However, the educated ones do move on up and get the hell out of the ghetto. Meanwhile, and this might shock you, but most of them have parents and grandparents that are inalfabetizado, means they can't read or write. And you know, it's those people who can't read and write and have got nothing to lose that make that trek up north and hope to sneak into the U.S. And I'll tell you, everyone who lives in those dirt poor little shanty town wants to move to the States. And they're so proud to tell you about the relatives living up in Los Estados, even though the vast majority are illegals, but they won't tell you that. The thing is, us long-term gringos and expats look at those situations. We know people like that. Because a lot of them are our handymen, cleaning ladies, maintenance guys, and gardeners. But they won't confide in you at all unless you speak Spanish. And those friends and relatives they brag about, the ones up in the States, do not have nice little businesses and jobs on the up and up. They're working for cash, using fake documents, mostly laying low, and not knowing much English at all except what they pick up on the street. So you might hear from your cleaning lady and gardener that Uncle Tulio up in Dallas is the family hero. And what a great success he is, because he's sending back remises. But they won't tell you he's working 12 hours a day, busting his butt, and coughing up blood from drywall lung. And Uncle Tulio won't tell his family that either. He'll just send money and smiling what's up selfies, posing with his new motorcycle and 50-inch flat-screen TV. Because, you know, for Latins, it's all about the show. So anyway, I've been in a lot of conversations with long-term expats, and we say to each other, why don't they move the hell out of those gang-infested asentamientos, you know, favelas or slums? They could, you know, easily move back to where they came from. Because, you see, most of them are transplants from a small farming community out in the boonies. So why did these former hayseeds come to the big city? Same reason farm kids up in the States move to the big city. For job opportunities and to make more money to buy more things. And farm life is boring. The cities are where the action is. Which brings us to a subject almost no one will ever talk about on the 6 o'clock news. No, it's not the freebies in the welfare system, but we'll get to that later. It's the simple fact that in the past 10 years, Latin America has gotten all the U.S. cable TV stations virtually for free. I mean, you can get full cable, 200-300 stations for 10 or 20 bucks a month. And often in the barrios, it's stolen, so you can actually get it for free. Hey, who said there ain't no such thing as a free lunch? So what happened before 5 or 10 years ago, all the Latinos got was their local 3 to 5 embarrassingly hopeless and terribly amateurish TV stations. And just like up in the States, the public became addicted fast, and it was on in the house 24/7. Then suddenly in the last couple of years, poor Latinos have been bombarded with sophisticated, fine-tuned U.S. marketing coming through every single U.S. station, translated in Spanish. And now they can see how gringos up north really live, the things they have, those wonderful devices you can't live without, furniture, cars, scooters, power washers, Vegematics, Rogaine, Viagra, pocket circumcisers, Disney cruises, exercise machines, electronics, video games, toys for Christmas, computers, iPhones. Suddenly, right in their living rooms, they're presented with all the temptations of the first world. And they know they can never, ever have that stuff living in the ghetto and making only 200 or 300 bucks a month. Fact is, humans want things, and they especially want things that their friends and neighbors have that they don't. And you heard me mention they've all got friends and relatives up in the States sending back 100 bucks a month to the family. And they've got Skype and WhatsApp on their smartphone. And they love showing off what they have to the folks back in Nicaragua. And what do you think that does? It causes all kinds of pent-up anger, jealousy, and desire in the folks back home, the have-nots. And man, People living down here in those ghettos who have next to nothing, do they want a piece of that? And here's the thing. When a reporter from the Chicago Trib comes down to Tijuana and interviews a family that's trying to sneak across the border, they don't tell them they're sneaking over because they want to buy things. They want iPhones and computers and big screen TVs that they could never afford back home. They talk about crime and gangs and poverty and lack of opportunity. And of course, there's all of that. But the real driving force, what gets at least the adolescents and young adult males out of the house and on the road willing to take that gamble, is all the things that their friends who made it there are bragging on. Now, add that to the fact that Uncle Tulio, who used to live next door, he's now up in the States, sending back $100 a month to Mom and Granny. And he's bragging that on his drywall job, he makes in 1 hour what he used to make in an entire day at the plastic tube factory in El Salvador. And he just sent his family a WhatsApp snapshot of him standing next to Mickey Mouse at the Magic Kingdom. Talk about envy and fueling the flames of desire, especially when the rest of the family is living in a tin shack back in the hood. So, like I said, if you know Spanish, you've been down here a long time, and you talk to the common man. Wait a minute. I wonder. When you're up in the States, can you still say common man because, you know, everyone's so special? No one's common. Not anymore. Anyway, if you can communicate in Spanish, they'll tell you, especially the adolescents, the young ones, from 16 to 20, even 30 years old, they tell you they want to go to the U.S. because they want things. They want all those things Uncle Tulio has living up there in Houston. Oh, sure, they'll talk about the crime in the hood and the gangs and such. Even a brother or a cousin that got shot. But if you really get to know these people, you'll hear almost 100% of the males say they want to go to the United States, not for the welfare benefits, they don't care, but because they'll be able to have a 50-inch TV and a motorcycle just like all the other Latin people they know who finally made it there. However, when you talk to the women, they'll tell you they want to get away from crime in the hood, obviously because it's the maternal instinct. Women are the protectors, they have the babies who are vulnerable and all that. But if you notice, and you'll hear this a lot on the news, at the border, young Latin males and adolescent boys outnumber the females at least 4 to 1. And a big reason for that is because women are a lot smarter than young men who are loaded up with testosterone. Or at least you could say they're more logical and not big risk takers. You know, it's much more dangerous for a woman to pass through Mexico, risk of being robbed and raped, human trafficking business, sexual slavery. Bad odds, just way too risky. In the end, I'd be willing to bet most of the women, if not all, trying to sneak through, have a pretty low IQ, which is one of the reasons they're stuck in a dead-end, terrible situation in the first place. Though a bright young Latino male primed with a lot of testosterone would certainly give it a try. Maybe he'd even look forward to the adventure. Come on, guys, admit it. No matter how dumb or smart we are, we've all done some really stupid things and taken some really dumb chances when we were young and stupid. Why do you think so many 18 and 19-year-olds enlist in the Army? Fact is, I remember a really good friend of mine. I'm sure he had an IQ of 140 or more. Really bright guy. When we were 12 or 13, he would jump off a bridge right into the Chicago River, head first, for a quarter. He's a multimillionaire engineer now and doesn't want to be reminded of that, but such are the follies of youth, huh? Now, about Americans talking about mojados, by the way, the word mojado is what they use here in Latin America for persons who have slipped into the U.S. illegally. Now, mojado directly translates to wetback. So who's the un-PC culturally insensitive group here? What I'm saying is Latins of all socioeconomic classes, from the dirt poor to the very rich, call people who slip into the States illegally mojados, wetbacks. Look it up. Stick it in Google Translate. M-O-J-A-D-O. Mojado. All right, when you talk about Latinos sneaking into the States for benefits, man, I never hear them talking about that. And I've talked to all kinds of very poor Latinos who've got relatives living illegally in the States. Now, that's not to say they don't know. There's all kind of benefits available. There are Latino organizations and groups that'll train you up on how to get all kind of benefits as soon as you walk across the border, illegal or not. Oh, Latinos know about that, all right. And they knew about those Obama phones. Remember those? But the truth is, every last one of them will tell me they're looking for a job, and they mean it. Funny thing, though, almost all of them know that a person can have a kid in the States and go on welfare and never work again. Somehow they've heard all the stories their friends and relatives up in the States have told them so. But you'll find, at least I have, it's nowhere on their list of priorities. Although, when Latin and gringo do-gooder groups up in the States train them up, they certainly take those freebies. Why not? Wouldn't you? You know, in all the years down here, I've never heard a Latin mention that as an excuse to go up to the States. So, all you know-it-alls up there, I wouldn't use that as an argument. But here's one you can. The anchor baby thing. They all know about that one. You know, that idea weighs heavily on the mind of certain pregnant teenage girls whose idiot, no-good, macho boyfriends have abandoned them. Oh, and here's something funny. Once my gardener said, "Don Johnny, is it true if a lady in the United States has a baby, she never has to work anymore? The government pays her?" I said, "Yeah." And you know what he did? He shook his head and said, "Sorry, Don Johnny, I just don't believe it." And you know why? Because Latins have an innate distrust of anything the government promises. And that's a good thing, because they've been promised so much and gotten zero in return so many times. So the welfare and freebie thing, not a motivator. And the crime and the gang thing, yeah, huge motivator, but the real answer is to get the hell out and move to a smaller town. And although in the city, they may be living in crime-infested squalor and shit, they're all in it together with friends, family, and loved ones. They just don't want to go back to the Pueblo. Even though there's no crime, there's fresh water, fresh air, and great food. Go figure, huh? The thing is, if you gave a city boy in a bad ghetto up in the States the same option, he'd tell you to get screwed. He'll say, "Too damn boring. The city's where the action is, man." All right, so there you have it. A long-term expat's un-PC take on the migrant situation. All right, little plug here. Remember, my January Expat Insider Seminar is coming up in about a month. Still got time to kill two birds with one stone. That means come down and apply for your temporary or permanent residency in Guatemala. Save a lot of dough that way. For all the info and sign-up details, go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's seminar link. And don't forget, if you're coming down, you have to land in Guatemala City by Friday, January 4th, because, man, we are zooming out Saturday morning early. Oh, and remember, I've written a 100-plus page Latin American healthcare report. You want first-world healthcare at third-world prices? Check out this report. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.